South Carolina Lieutenant Governor Pamela Evatt rejoins the program. Madam LG, it's like the same as it ever was. Last week you joined us and we were bracing for potential winter weather, and here we are again this week bracing for more potential winter weather this upcoming weekend. Good morning.
Good morning. We are not, us South Carolinians, Joe, we are not built for this. I got to tell you, this is brutal. We need to get the temperature back up. I've always fallen on the sword. I'm a 90-degree girl. I mean, when it's 90 degrees, I'm in my element. So I am freezing, but lots of things going around. I hope you're encouraging everybody to tune in tonight for the governor's final state of the state. I think he's going to recap a lot of the accomplishments of our administration and his vision, where he'd likes to see South Carolina going. So I hope everybody tunes in. It's going to be a wonderful speech.
Yeah, in fact, it'll be his ninth and last time addressing lawmakers in his annual address in the State House. And in fact, there's an op-ed by the one and only Madam LG that you can read through this morning at myorinews.com, highlighting some of those achievements. In terms of a speech for tonight, what can we expect the governor to address in terms of some of the policies and, as you said, some of the accomplishments and some forward thinking, right, in terms of what's in store for South Carolina after his term is over?
Absolutely. You know, so, you know, the governor has always been a governor that has really embraced conservation, loves the fact that we have so much wooded land, and trying to help put some of that under land trust so we can keep it for a long time. And you'll hear about his, you know, what he's done, having the Floodwater Commission and really looking at getting rid of coastal erosion. So I think he'll talk about some of the big achievements that we've made with that, things that are near and dear to, you know, to all of us who live by the coast. He's going to talk about our accomplishments. He's going to talk about law enforcement and the fact that this is a state of law and order. And he's going to talk about teachers and, you know, how, you know, we've had accomplishments. We have to continue with that. So, you know, that's just a little preview of what we're all going to hear. He always keeps his speech to himself. So everybody except here, nobody sees the whole thing until it actually gets delivered. So we're all anxiously waiting.
Talking with South Carolina Lieutenant Governor Pamela Evatt here this morning, the state's second highest executive officer. The role of the lieutenant governor has changed a bit over the years. Right back in 2018, the position shifted from presiding over the state Senate to acting as a direct partner in the executive branch. So you have a newer role as the lieutenant governor, have had a newer role as compared to, you know, people who have come before you. So what's it been like, you know, as the spokesperson, you would say, for the governor's office, as you, you know, crisscross the state and have had done that for the last number of years, to talk economic development, to talk about the growth of our technical colleges, all the different things that you have under your umbrella as Madam LG over the last number of years?
So, Joe, I've loved my role. You know, I think I am better suited to be out there as a problem solver. Coming out of the business world, sitting in the executive branch in the private sector, I've really enjoyed seeing all that South Carolina does, being able to be, you know, a voice of all the amazing impacts we have all across the globe. And when I talk chambers and commerce and business circles, I love to talk, Joe, about South Carolina's fingerprints and just how our fingerprints impact the whole world, whether we're talking about the fact that we produce more BMWs than anywhere in the world, that we create the, you know, we build the F-16 Block 70s here for Lockheed Martin, those planes keeping us and our allies safe all over the globe, 29 boat manufacturers, all the things, and the lists keep going on and on, of what we do, the impact we make because of our agriculture community. These are all South Carolina's fingerprints. And I love the fact that I've been able to kind of be in the middle of that, see it firsthand, and then able to go around the state, be on great shows like this, so that people understand just the role we play around the globe and how proud we should all be of being South Carolinians. And the governor always says, don't forget to tell the children the amazing impacts that South Carolina has, and why this is the best state from our heritage and our history to what we're doing today. We always have to remember to be proud of all we accomplish.
Governor McMaster going to deliver his final State of the State address at 7 o'clock tonight. It also comes during his final legislative session, right, after nearly a decade leading the state. But in terms of, we mentioned some of the priorities that he's laid out in terms of his executive budget recommendations. But behind the scenes, when the curtain's pulled back and the spotlight isn't necessarily on the governor's office, give us a little insight into who the man is in terms of Governor McMaster and the guy you've gotten to know over the last near decade.
You know, he's a true statesman, and I think he's one of what is sad to say is almost a dying breed. He has always worked tirelessly for the people of South Carolina. He has fought for things that he believes that will make the state a better state. And I think everybody can agree on he's not a showboat. He's not a showman. You know, when the governor, he wrote an executive order. This is a great story that I tell of him. He wrote an executive order. It was called Medina versus Planned Parenthood. It ended up turning into a case. The executive order said that, you know, if you you could not use taxpayer dollars to go to any clinic that performed abortions, because this was an overwhelming sentiment that we were getting from South Carolinians across the state. And of course, it got challenged. It got to the Supreme Court. And when nobody would take up the fight for that, he took it up himself. And he took our attorneys from the governor's office, and he went and they were in the Supreme Court when the Supreme Court ruled in our favor, and it became the law of the land. And I'm always shocked at how few people really know what an impact that played. It didn't become, you know, something that South Carolina adopted. Any other conservative state with a conservative governor now could the same policies in place. And not many people knew about that because the governor didn't run, you know, to the press, and he didn't, you know, beat his chest. He just knew that he accomplished what the people of South Carolina were asking him to accomplish. And he went on with his day and started to tackle the next challenges. And that's the person that, you know, you see, the person you see out front, somebody that loves the state with his whole heart, that's who you see behind the scenes. And so it's refreshing to say that, you know, the guy you see up in front is the same guy you see when he's sitting down and having dinner or drinking a Diet Coke and just kind of reminiscing about his time serving the state of South Carolina.
Talking with South Carolina Lieutenant Governor Pamela Evett. All right, let's sort of fast forward. You're running for governor now. What are some of the things that you've taken from his way in doing things and sort of not needing to stay in the spotlight too much, and his policies and his viewpoints kind of carry the day? How are you going to be able to utilize that as you continue to court voters leading into this primary season?
Well, you know, something I always admired the governor for was his fact that he never felt like his views overstepped the Constitution, whether it's the state constitution or our this nation's constitution. You know, I always watched him. You know, we put our hands on a Bible, and that's what we swear to do when we're sworn into office. And he always looked at that. You know, when we were going through COVID and times were tough, there were things I'm sure, you know, inherently he wanted to do, but he didn't feel he had the power to do. And I think that's something that, you know, is a great example to everyone who leads, is like this is a lane that we have to operate in, and we stay within that because that document is what we swear an oath to do. And that has been great when you look in this world of everybody, you know, and all the crazy things that come out in the public eye. He used that as his, you know, his North Star. And, you know, he always put people first. He always put safety first. He put the well-being of the state first. And he knew, you know, that it all started with law and order. You can't grow a state that people are afraid to live in or come to. And we, you know, this state is built on such rich tradition and culture. Hunting and fishing and outdoors is such a big part of that. Ecotourism is a big part of that. How do we save that for next generations? It's been, you know, an honor to work next to him and to see how a true statesman leads. He is going to be greatly missed at the end of this year, but he's leaving a great legacy and a legacy that, you know, I intend to continue. And what I mean by his legacy is just the way he served. He served the people and he served the state. And we need more leaders just like him. And I plan on being that leader when I'm governor.
As lawmakers, you'll get back to work this week, as we kicked off the segment, just highlighting the fact that the session continues here now through the final week of January. I know there are a number of items of interest that are going to pop up to our listeners out there over the next several weeks, and we continue to follow it all. We've got some great sources over there within the state legislature to provide us those details. But having said that, Census Bureau came out yesterday highlighting the fact that South Carolina welcomed nearly 80,000 residents over the last year, July 1, 2024 to July 1, 2025. I bring that up because infrastructure always remains top of mind for people around our region, across our state, our roads, our bridges, and the need to upkeep with that. As it relates to the state budget, which will start getting worked out here over the next little while over in Columbia, I'm assuming that infrastructure will play a big role in spending those dollars that have come in through record numbers in terms of a surplus that we've enjoyed at the state level.
You're absolutely right. You know, we kind of did a teaser before we released the executive budget, and obviously the one item we knew was worth really mentioning was the fact that we're asking for $1.1 billion to accelerate roads and bridge projects. You know, the governor and I were, you know, in our executive budget years back, that was one of the first times we put an emphasis on bridges across our state, too. And put that in the mix. Infrastructure is a huge issue that we will continue to address in our budget. We also had some other great things that we're asking for. You know, 4K is a secret to success when it comes to education. We need to make sure our children are well educated for the jobs of the future. So the governor asking for funding for full 4-day universal 4K across our state. He's asking for breakfast for all of our public school children. You know, there's a lot of research that has come out. There are kids, and it's sometimes hard for us to believe, that go to school hungry. And if you're hungry, you can't learn, and that becomes a big obstacle in learning. He feels that it's something worth having. Our children are worth investing in. And so, you know, I hope everybody tuned in to hear our executive budget. Again, making sure we take care of law enforcement officers, getting the last amount of money to fulfill a campaign promise, which we are very confident we'll get, to get our teachers to have a starting teacher salary of $50,005. We said that would be a campaign promise we were going to try to do because we wanted to keep the best and brightest right here in South Carolina. And I'm proud to tell your listeners that even this year at 48.5, which was a big jump over the last 7 years, you know, we are now paying a starting teacher salary that's higher than Georgia or North Carolina. And that is keeping the best and brightest right here in our classrooms. So we want that to continue on. We want to make sure that, again, our children are well educated, our law enforcement is taken care of, our roads and our infrastructure is being maintained and well maintained long into the future.
South Carolina Lieutenant Governor Pamela Evett once again with us this morning, with us weekly, as she has been over the last several months. And Madam LG, as always, enjoyable conversation. Enjoy our time together each week and look forward to doing this again. Come up next week.
I definitely will. Everybody stay warm. It looks like it's going to get cold again this weekend. Hopefully we're not going to see any of the white stuff, but it is going to be chilly. So look after your neighbors. Make sure everybody's well taken care of and tune into the State of the State tonight. I think it's something you're not going to want to miss.
Yeah, it's Governor McMaster's 9th and last time addressing our state lawmakers over in their capital city of Columbia. It gets underway at 7 o'clock this evening. Of course, we'll have a recap on that during tomorrow's program as we kick off our broadcast on Thursday.